Just back from Armenia, and the closed box church phenomena is right in our mind, as well as Sasnashen. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the spiritual, the emotional, the psychological, physical, and everything in between. This is episode number 581 of The Next Step, and I'm inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to our 12th year of broadcasting, The Next Step with Father Voskin. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of their faith and spirituality in their lives today. Blending the most ancient traditions of Armenian Orthodoxy with the challenges of the 21st century, Father Voskin brings a distinctive and unique voice to the Christian conversation of peace, harmony, and love. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
You would think people would be in more shock than they are, right? When things like this happen. You really do. I mean, you know, you get delayed at an airport by 1 hour, 2 hours, and you are just upset and you're whining about it when you really think, like, look at the incredible, incredible technology that is at our feet, literally at our feet, that's enabling us to be on one part of the country to the other side and back again. How about one part of the world and to the other side? I mean, it is just astounding to me that I woke up Monday morning in Armenia, and I left Armenia at 7:30 in the morning, a.m., okay? And I arrived in the United States at Los Angeles, LAX, at 2:30 in the afternoon. You know, what is that? It's like 8 hours, 7 hours, yeah. Incredible, right? It's amazing. Because we're talking also because we're 12 time zones away. It's literally on the other side of the earth. The other side of the planet, okay? I mean, we just celebrated the 50th anniversary of the moonwalk. We went from planet Earth to the moon, and we're celebrating this. Think about the celebration every single day. I mean, I'm waking up on one side of the planet, ending up on the other side of the planet, and what, 7 hours have passed? Well, yeah, technically, I mean, you're in a plane for about 14, 15 hours, the technical time flow. But there's that whole issue of changing times and everything. But still, it's amazing. And how many of us just stop and just say, wow? I mean, if it had taken 2 days, if it had taken 3 days, I mean, still amazing. Okay, and then you get delayed by an hour. You end up on the tarmac for half an hour, start complaining. Well, I think that just kind of like goes with the system, right? We've got to complain about something. I was listening to this incredible interview, and I want you to listen to it. I'm going to have a link on today's show notes. A lady named Leah Babayan. She happens to be in Twin Falls, Idaho, and it caught my attention, first of all, in Armenian, but also Twin Falls, because last year we were up there just about this time, going up towards Utah to celebrate the Assumption, and we had a chance to stop off in Idaho and then in Wyoming, Montana, beautiful country up there. And all of a sudden, yesterday or the day before, I saw this notice. Twin Falls, Idaho. This woman is speaking. She's written a book, and she's giving this interview, and there'll be a link on today's show notes. Do listen to this interview. It's inspiring, all the things that she goes through. She ends up as a refugee, leaving Azerbaijan. As you remember, back in the 1990s, there were pogroms, there was this mass scale, on the scale of genocide, yeah, trying to rid the Armenians out of that country. An Armenian leaving Azerbaijan, not only ends up in Armenia right at the beginning of the fall of communism. So, I mean, think about the topsy-turviness of your life at that point. as a young kid, okay, you're getting thrown out of your country where you're living, Azerbaijan. You end up going to Armenia, and all of a sudden communism is collapsing, and therefore the economy, the entire country is upside down, and you end up there. And you're trying to land on your feet. You're still a kid, and you're, in fact, your parents are kids, right? She makes a wonderful point. You know, my parents are like 30 years old at this time, and they're just trying to. And isn't that the truth with all parents, right? It's your first crack at it. You're trying your best. There's no manuals, and you just remember what was good about your parents, what was bad about your parents. You try your best to make the best for your kids, and all parents try that. And then somehow she ends up in a place called Idaho. Well, I know where that is. I've been there. But imagine being in Armenia. Imagine being in Azerbaijan, starting your life there. Little kid, Armenia, now Idaho, without anybody. No language, no cultural similarities. And you try to make it, and you make it. And she makes a beautiful point in there. She says, the biggest thing that my kids, that I have to deal with my kids right now is, like, if the Netflix account goes down. And it's so true, isn't it, right? These are first world problems. Is that safe to claim it like that? First world problems. Ooh, my internet connection went down. My plane from the other side of the world arrived here 15 minutes late. My baggage, it took like an extra half an hour for my baggage to arrive at baggage claim. Oh, man. Yeah, well, it's true. It's true. These are the reasons we complain. And there's a lot of that going on, too, isn't there? I just returned from Armenia. What a trip. I'm going to share some insights about that, especially in a village called Sasnashen, where I was. People have been asking me about that name. It is an unusual name, especially if you're standing in the middle of Armenia and trying to get somebody to take you up there, and you quickly realize that not too many people know where Sasnashen is. Actually, it's a village of about 750 people. Did you think I was going to say 700,000? No, there aren't that many people in the whole region. 750 people, not even families, Sasnashen. Near a town, the biggest town there is called Tallinn, a town of about 4,000 people. Sasnashen, people have been asking me, what is that? Well, Sasun, these are one of our bravest freedom fighters during the genocide, during all the atrocities that were committed against the Armenian nation back in the last century. The Sasunsis, the people from Sasun, these were like the freedom fighters. They ended up coming to this village. Sasun is the region, and Shen in Armenian means life. So it's the living people of Sasun, or long live the people of Sasun. And we went to that village where, as you know, if you've been following the next step, and if you haven't, let me give you a quick update. Back in 1958, during the Cold War, a U.S. Air Force airplane was shot down. Yeah. Doing reconnaissance work right on the border. It's right on the Turkish-Armenian border. Yeah, there wouldn't be a border. You're right. I should say, but it's kind of weird. I know you're looking at me like, anyway, we're talking about that border between Turkey and Armenia. It's kind of silly because it's really all Armenia. And in fact, when you are standing there, people refer to that Turkish part as Western Armenia. Yeah, it is. I mean, really, it is. It is Western Armenia. Happens to be occupied right now by the Turks. So for the sake of conversation, they say that, you know, on that border, the Turkish-Armenian border. Yeah, I know it's more than the sake of conversation, but, you know, I'm kind of like down on politicians these days. They've kind of really messed up our whole world. I'm really down on what they've done. And so, you'll have to forgive me. I'm going to refer to it as the Western-Eastern Armenian border. And this plane happened to be shot down there back in 1958, and so it was the 60th anniversary last year. I was invited to Nebraska, to the Air Force base over there, to address a group called the Prop Wash Gang. These were the guys who flew those planes and serviced those planes, and there was a gathering of a few hundred people, and I addressed that audience. And I talked about Armenia, I talked about Sasnashen, I talked about faith, I talked about who we are and what that faith is all about. And lo and behold, they took up a collection right there, yeah, and they gave me a pile of money. Cash, yeah, cash. No checks. Actually, checks don't fly over there. No, this was cash. And they asked me to take it to Armenia, specifically to aid this little town called Sasnashen, the youth of that town. And I didn't know where that was. And so I went and I discovered it back last year, October 2018, shortly after they had given me the money. And I made a promise that I would go back. And so I just did. I went back. And I had taken the money last October to see, you know, what we could do. We found a small little house. They call it a house. It's actually an apartment. It's a flat, which happens to be directly across from the church over there. And we used the money to renovate it, to put in some to hardware installations, to do some work with the plumbing. And we got it up. Fortunately, it's been donated. The house has been donated by the Mother See of Holy Etchmiadzin to the church. So there's no rent to pay. It's ours to use. And we renovated it. And it is now the officially, I met with Mugurdich, Bishop Mugurdich. It's a mouthful, I know. Mugurdich. It means the Baptist. He was named the Baptist. That's a cool name, you know. Yeah, when you get ordained a priest, you get a new name. There's some really cool names that have been given out. I'm just very thankful for mine. I love Vosgen. Vosgen, we're going to talk about it in the next coming weeks because we're hitting the 25th anniversary of the passing of the prolific patriarch of the Armenians, Vosgen the First, who I was happened to be named after. But we have some other great, great names that you really got to think about. For instance, Mugurdich means Baptist. So he was Father Baptist. Cool, right? I like that. Along those lines, there's a Father Harutyun. Harutyun is resurrection. Father Resurrection, right? You kind of like smile when you hear it in English, but in Armenian, it's very acceptable. And there's a few names like this that are beyond just proper names. They have meaning. They have religious meaning. So I went and I met with the bishop over there, met with the priest over there. We set up the groundwork. We are doing a Sasnashen youth center with the money. We got some other donations put together, and we are starting. It is in the works. And September, we're going to be out there in Armenia. We're doing a pilgrimage. If you've ever thought on getting involved in a pilgrimage, this is something that beyond tourism, where we go throughout Armenia and see some of the most holiest of shrines. We're even going to Artsakh, to what was called Nagorno-Karabakh. We are going to Artsakh on this pilgrimage. It's from September 16th through 30th. But here's the exciting thing. On the 29th, on the last Sunday of that pilgrimage, we're going to be in Sasnashen. We're going to be opening up this center, this youth center. And most importantly, there's going to be an opportunity given to young people in that area. Now, you've got to remember that village life is quite different. It's different from city life. And there aren't the same opportunities given to young people. This is going to be a center where young people can feel welcome, can feel loved, can feel cared, can receive mentorship, can find a safe place to sit down, to do their work, and really explore their possibilities as people. And I'm very thankful that I ran into a wonderful priest, Father Tade Tarmazian. He's the parish priest of Tallinn, a young priest, young family. So he's excited. He's excited to be part of this program, and we're putting it all out there. In fact, our bishop suggested that we find a sister parish. Wouldn't that be exciting? a parish. I'm putting it out there to Next Step listeners. If you happen to belong to an Armenian church that would like to have a sister parish, this is really a place to invest in. And I use that word intentionally, to invest. Yeah, it means some money. It means putting some dollars into there. But the yield is incredible. You have young people who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford and be granted these opportunities. And thanks to your donations, thanks to what we're doing over there, they're able to possibly have a hand up in life. Literally, it's a big difference. Actually, this was back in October when Susan and I were in Armenia. Last October, we realized that, you know, Yerevan is really, really fantastic place and it's doing well. Thank God it's okay. And really, we need to start focusing in on some of the more impoverished areas of Armenia, and basically comes down to the villages. This is up in the northwestern section of Armenia. It's the road that takes you from Yerevan to Gyumri, and this town is the town of Tallinn. So if you're inclined to kind of explore it a little more, drop me a note. I would love to set you up and tell you what you can do. It was interesting because I was talking with the priest over there, and he was talking about basically just funding the church. You know, people go to the church, and it is, again, like financially, economically, in very difficult condition. And he says, when you think about it, with a village of 750 people, each person gets baptized once. Each person dies once. True, right? I mean, you don't have to think about it. It is true. You get married once. Possibly you may get married twice. So what's the interaction that people have liturgically with the church? And he's saying this economically, because financially, how do you keep churches running in places like that? And he wasn't saying this because, you know, it's something that he wants to get rich off of or scheme, but it's a real practical concern, because across from them, you have the cults, you have other religious groups with more scrupulous means and purposes and what they're trying to do and trying to grab people. And what do? They put a demand. They put a condition on people. No, it's not about four times coming to church and paying, you know, $50 four times, $200 through your whole lifetime. No, it's about giving one-tenth of your income. Tithing. It's biblical. It's scriptural. And it's demanded. And they get it. And again, this is not about, oh, we're better than you, or this is what... No, this is about what is our obligation to the church. Now, I've shared this with you throughout the years, not necessarily about tithing, but about how do we subsidize our ministries. I've always found it just fascinating that we still revert to food fairs, chicken and pilaf. In fact, it wasn't the Next Step. It was when I was at St. Peter in Glendale. We used to actually say, not a chicken has been killed for this ministry. Because we were giving a product, namely a fantastic ministry. We were talking, and there was money coming in. It subsidizes. We're saying we need to feed the homeless. We're saying that we need to send clothes to these naked people. We said we needed to get out to the jails. And people gave. They would write out their checks. They would donate, just like the Next Step. Just like your donations that come into the Next Step. It's because you're getting something out of it. We're stimulating the mind. You know, here, listen to this. When we went out to Armenia back in 2014. It was the 99th anniversary of the genocide. We went to both sides of Ararat. We talked about vortexes, and I'll never forget, we were in Armenia when we ran into a lady who runs all kinds of different projects, and when we told her that we're going to be going out to these very sacred sites, these holy sites, and connecting with vortexes in Armenia. She said, what are you guys doing that for? You know, take the people to some kind of, like, there's so much going on in Armenia. There's the Tumo Center. There's all this innovation. And you know what? I'm the first person to tell you, yeah. You know what I'm kind of get tired of is that I was there before, and you hate to say it. You hate to be the guy who says, you know, you're just now catching up. It was like this past week, I was in Armenia. You know what they're talking about? Gender equality. They're talking about gay rights, even in Etchmiadzin. Can you believe that? Here, Father Vazgen, we were talking about it a couple of years ago. In fact, got us into a lot of trouble because we dared to talk about it. Do you remember those days? You know, the priests, your bishops that were telling you, oh, stay away from Father Vazgen, you know, because of what he's saying and everything. Guess what? The world is catching up. The world is catching up, and they're realizing that, hey, they do have to talk about it. And in the same way, back then, you know, they're talking about, oh, we got to go for technology. Hey, technology, man. 1985, we were doing technology when the first circuit boards were being printed. But what's important is getting people out to a place where their spirits can be alive. Just like the plane I was talking about a few minutes ago, right? We get so used to the technology that we forget about the wonder that you're on one side of the planet and you're waking up on this side of the planet and you're going to sleep on the other side of the planet. The wonder that is there. We're missing that wonder. And so when we do pilgrimages, it's to go to these holy sites, to touch the soul. And if your soul is touched, guess what? All of the other stuff fits in. And that's really what the whole name of the game is with Next Step. Yeah, you know, it's not a ministry like you would think about ordinarily. It's a ministry to stimulate your mind, to get you to start thinking, hey, you know, I am a creation of God. I've been given by God the tools, the necessary tools to do the things that I want to do. In fact, coming up in our announcements at the end, I want to share with you, one of our dear listeners, Seza, is going to be giving this event to benefit HALO. Now, HALO is another one that you've heard about here on The Next Step. Many years ago, when our dear friend Gala was out here and we talked about it and we shared some information with you and gave it out to you about landmines. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, but that's what The Next Step is about. That's what faith should be about. That's what religion should be about. That's what church should be about. It's like when I give a sermon, I'm not interested in people coming up to me and saying, keep up the good work, or, hey, that was a great sermon. I'm interested in the guy who says, hey, you got me to think. You got me to think about who I am and what I'm doing. You challenged me to think. Wow. It's those days that I get excited. It's those emails I get from you that really excite me. It's like saying, wow, we're thinking in a different way. Well, same thing with chicken. You know, don't kill these chickens for your ministry. Something's wrong if you have to have a food fair to subsidize your ministry. Because ministry, it's just like any other business. You know that too, right? It's like you open up a restaurant and you're going to sell some food. People don't come to that to eat that food. Okay, you might change the menu. You might think about ambiance. You might think about different ways to get people to eat that food, right? So that you can continue staying in business. You would never think to say, oh, I've got a restaurant and I'm going to be selling food. But you know what? On the side lot, I'm going to sell concrete. And if I could sell concrete and bolts and nails to people, then that will subsidize my business as a restaurant. I've got a bookstore over there, but people aren't reading books. So you know what I'll do? I'll open up a balloon store. And I'll sell balloons for parties. And I'll make money from the balloons to subsidize my bookstore. Now you see, this is not the way you do things. But somehow in the church, this works, doesn't it, right? I've got a church. I'm not making money off of it. I'm not looking to get rich, but I do need to pay salaries. I do need to pay for electricity. I do need to pay for this microphone, for the internet space. I do need to do this, okay? So instead of just asking people, are you getting something out of it? Do you want to be a part of this ministry, right? Instead of doing that, what do? We'll go kill some chickens and we'll have chicken dinner. And we'll set up these long tables, and we'll put little salt and pepper shakers on in front of everybody. And we'll let people look at each other and say, who makes better pilaf, St. Peter or St. James? Who makes a better kebab? And we do this. And you think that is funny. I'm not laughing. We seriously do this. Look what's going to happen just this coming Sunday. It is Vartavar. It is the transfiguration of Jesus Christ, an event that is unlike and unparalleled in human history, radiating Jesus Christ, radiating the light of the universe. And what are we going to do? Oh, let's get together and throw water balloons at each other. Hey, it's going to be fun. I got to get down to church because we're all going to get wet. Okay. Did someone lose the meaning of the story along the way? Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Anyway, let's take a break right now. I shared with you all of the concepts right now. We'll bring it together after the song of the day. We do a very special song. You know, July has been incredible. When I think about the whirlwind rate at which we're just living, it is just hot, it is humid, climate change and everything. But no, we're not going to play climate change today. What I'm going to share with you is something very dear that happened to me. Actually, beginning of the month, we had a chance to be at the Jethro Tull concert. That's where the earthquake happened. Really rocked and rolled. I mean, a living legend with Ian Anderson. We had 1 week later another chance to see another living legend on the 13th of the month. Just before I took off for Armenia, we had a chance to see Paul McCartney. For Christmas, our kids had given us tickets to Paul McCartney. He played at Dodger Stadium. There it was. One of two remaining members of the Beatles. Yeah, it's kind of fun to tell people. Yeah, I remember Paul McCartney. He belonged to this band called the Beatles. Well, yeah. I think anybody who is anybody in this world will admit that they not only changed the face of music, of rock and roll, but also Western civilization, of culture, of society. It's undeniable how much they impacted this small group of guys that came over from Liverpool. And there he was, Paul McCartney, right in front of us, playing the songs that we had heard all of our lives, 50 years, 55 years. And then for the encore, he brings on the other remaining Beatle. Yeah, there they were, Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr. And it was interesting because the following morning, they had that's all that the news was about, that the two remaining Beatles had shown up at the concert. But I think it detracted away from this incredible musician, Paul McCartney, who really gave the entire concert, about 2.5 hours, if I remember right, and it was just nonstop. And when you think about age, when you think about stamina and ability, and here's the kicker, the wide variety of music that he has produced. You realize that this would be like similar to going out and being at a Beethoven concert where Beethoven was performing. And it was really remarkable when you think about the volume of work that this man has put out. And so we had a chance to listen and really enjoy an incredible evening. Going to play for you a song when I got off the plane from Armenia. It resonated. No, not back in the USSR. No more USSR. Rather, it was Get Back.
Get back to where you once belonged. Get back. she gets it while she can.
Get back off of the Let It Be album. I wanted to play you that version. It's from the Beatles. I had a few different versions I was going to play. If you're like a Beatles, kind of a nutcase on the Beatles, and you kind of follow, you know that there's some different things that they do. In this particular version, it was kind of like the full version. There was like the one that they played on the Let It Be album, where it kind of just cuts off on the Let It Be concert, the one on the rooftop. And I always like this one because it's got Billy Preston playing in it. And, you know, there's always this talk, who's the fifth Beatle? You know, Brian Epstein, Billy Preston, George Martin is always the one that I figured has to be the fifth Beatle, right? Anyway, there's talk about it, and, you know, they're just kind of like conversation starters, conversation makers. And we had a chance to see two incredible living legends this past month. In the form of an Ian Anderson and a Paul McCartney performing. Incredible stamina, incredible music, energy. It was just a fantastic, fantastic month for music for me. And this song, Get Back to Where You Once Belonged, Your Mama's Waiting for You, those words also mean something to me, because it's not just a melody, it's also the word, the combination of the words. And it's not about, you know, this is what Paul, sometimes you know that the writer's having some fun and he's just going through, especially like when you hear some song like Yesterday. I remember Yesterday by the Beatles. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. It's beautiful. It was so beautiful because I remember it crossed generations for me. I was a young kid when I heard that, and I remember my grandmother, a genocide survivor, would hum that song. She loved it. She loved it. And then it's hard later on when you find out, well, the words were scrambled eggs, you know, and you've heard that story. You know, but Paul McCartney reveals that, you know, when he was writing this song, it just came to him, and he had different lyrics to it, scrambled eggs, and it's a letdown. But then you got to remember that, you know, music, like all art forms, has to talk to you. I bought a beautiful piece of art in Yerevan this past week. It probably talks to me and probably doesn't talk to a lot of other people, but, you know, it's something that spoke to me and just made sense to me, and that's art, just like music. There's lyrics, they talk to you. I remember a few years ago when I heard that there was this one lyric that I heard in Gor Mkhitaryan's work that just spoke to me. It still does. Actually, it's actually just last night, because I still haven't gotten used to my time schedule. And there's this one lyric that he uses in one of his songs. It's called, I think it's called Or, the name of the song, Day. And he goes, Voski arzat yevhan karvatskun. Gold, silver, and disturbed sleep. I once asked him, what are you thinking about there? He says, it is what it is, you know. And it's such a good answer. It really is a good answer. He's the musician. He plays. He's throwing something out there. Now it's up to you to kind of decipher. How does that fit into your life? Just like religion, yeah. It's thrown out there. How does it fit into your life? In fact, that's the last portion of what we're going to be talking about today. But I wanted to play Get Back because the music, the words, they speak to you. I got off the plane and I'm just thinking, get back to where you once belonged. Your mama's waiting for you. Mama, you're in Armenia. Get back to where you once belonged. Yeah, makes sense. Just like a couple weeks ago, you know, we were commemorating the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. And I played for you this song, Michael Collins, for Michael Collins, Jeffrey and Me. I mean, it's not just about the beauty of the music. Watery eyes of the last sighing seconds. Blue reflections mute and dim. Think about that. Michael Collins in the orbiter. Watery eyes as his friends leave the orbiter and they're going to go and touch the moon. Blue reflections. For the first time, human beings are seeing Earth as the object in the sky. They're on the moon. They're looking and there's the Earth and its reflection now on the moon. I mean, it's beautiful, beautiful. It's poetic. It's genius when you think about it. And it should stimulate us to think, to really touch the creativity that's inside each of us. That's what music does. It should be doing. And that's why I take this extra little time every week to play you a song you like, you don't like. You know, I just put it out there to take a little bit of time to listen to some music, to relax, to put us in touch with a part of our lives, a side of our lives that has become dull and needs a little bit of freshening up, that romance. Yeah, it's inside of each of us. Hope you enjoyed it.
It was written that I would love you from the moment I opened my eyes, and the morning when I first saw you gave me life under calico skies.
Well, we are just debriefing today from a return from Armenia and just kind of thinking about all the different things that have happened over the last few weeks. And I'm going to follow up and kind of like give you the last portion of today's show in the terms of a closed box church and an open box church. Okay. How about that? Okay. What do I mean by that? Well, here we are. We just went to Sasnashin. It is in the northwestern section of Armenia. It's just beautiful land. You look out as far as you can see. You can see Mount Ararat there on the border. And as far as you can see, just beautiful, beautiful land. And there's nothing there because, well, it is a militarized zone. Yeah, there are on one side troops from the Turkish army, on the other side from the Armenian army, and basically it is a border. It is a border right there. So that's life. You get used to it. And this is what I meant earlier about, like, there's just sides of our life that have become so dull because of what the politics have done. You know, this is why, why do we keep looking back to politicians to solve situations in the world? They haven't shown us anything great, have they? What is so great about what they're doing, especially right now? More divisions. It is just horrendous. I'm getting very scared. I mean, we've not scared of the politician. I'm getting scared that we as human beings have just relinquished all of the goodness and all of the rights that we have to people who just don't deserve it. Who are they? People who are trying to get rich. And, you know, people come up to me and say, oh, yeah, your president. What does my president have to do with me? Think about it for a moment. A multi-billionaire? You think it relates to me? I mean, I just don't understand it. I don't understand what the draw is. I got to be honest with you. He's collecting millions of dollars from people to run a campaign. I mean, why? Why? If you've got a few billion dollars, what are you going to do with a few billion dollars? You're over 70. Why not just spend it and run your campaign? Well, because you want more. You need more, right? You don't show your tax returns. Well, what does that say? Anyway, I don't want to get into the whole political discussion because we're each free to look at it, look at life any way you want. But what does bother me is when we start blurring the lines and we think that politics are somehow going to save us. For instance, in the Armenian community, there are Armenian political groups with Armenian political aspirations. Obviously, yes. There is the ANC, for instance, Armenian National Committee. Now, their concern is the Armenian cause, Haitad. And we need to get recognition for the genocide, and we need to get our lands back after it's recognized, and so on and so on, and you keep going, and you collect a lot of money, and this is what you do. Okay, so this is great. Now, all of a sudden, last month, or was it a few weeks ago, they run an article, or I think it was a few days ago, excuse me. See, I told you, I'm kind of like mixed up with my days and everything. They run an article, Armenian hymns fill the capital. What? Wait, this political group is talking about Armenian hymns? And so their pride is that, you know, a few priests, a few bishops ended up going to Capitol Hill, talking to some congressional people about our response and what we're doing and everything. And at the end, they sang an Armenian church hymn. I think it was Dervor Ormia. I'll dig up the story and put it on the show notes. You're free to look at it. But what gets me is that, you know, where is this group on Sunday morning ensuring that people are coming to church? Our churches are vacant, are empty. Nobody seems to care about that. But it's important to get our voice out there, our church voice out somewhere else so people can hear it. Why? Why? Why is that important? It's like a few, I think it was last year, last summer. Armenian youth went to Van. Now, we were there 5 years ago. They went to Ahtamar. And they sang the Armenian hymns. And the Turks asked them to stop. Now, I was there too. I was there in 2014. 5 years ago, exactly, with a small group. And I remember we prayed inside of that same church at Ahtamar. And we prayed and we sang the hymns. And this was part of a pilgrimage. Everyone in our group was there for spiritual reasons. That's what we build this pilgrimage. And I said a few minutes ago, we were even criticized. Why don't you take them to this, that, you know, go to that technological... Okay. We were up front. This is what we're doing. We're going there as a pilgrimage, a spiritual pilgrimage. We were in that church. And you know what? A very nice guard, Turkish guard, came up to us and said, I'm asking you to please stop. This is after about 10 to 15 minutes where we had prayed, singing Armenian hymns. He says, I want you to understand it's nothing personal. It's just that I know that you people will be putting this up on YouTube, on Facebook, and then at that point, it becomes my job. In other words, he could lose his job. And when he said it, the sincerity with which he said it, you realize that this guy has a family, this guy has kids, this guy is providing for his family, and now you're invading that space because you want a few minutes inside of your church. It's okay. I think the bigger Christian atmosphere is to say, it's okay. Remember what I said a few minutes ago? Closed box church. Think about that for a moment, okay? Just remember that. Okay, so we're there, and we said, fine. Now, last year, a group of Armenians go there, and they get some big publicity. We went there, and when they told us to stop, we continued to pray because this is our church, and we prayed. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I agree with that. It's your church. You should pray. But here's what gets me. Where are you Sunday? There's 52. 52 weeks. Where were you the other 52 weeks? Are you in your free country inside of your church praying? No, you know it's a no. You know you are not praying at a church. So for some reason, to showcase everything, you're out there in the middle of Turkey to say, hey, look, I'm in my church praying. That's called showcasing. That's not religion. That's not faith. That's called hypocrisy. And for some reason, we applaud that kind of hypocrisy. We see it every day, right? It's called politics. We applaud politicians when you and I know they're hypocrites. They're saying one thing and doing another thing. Closed box church. What happened? We're in the middle of Sasnashen in Armenia, this beautiful, beautiful area. And as far as you can see from one end to the other end, it's just God's design on life. And there in the middle of the fields in the village of Sasnashen is a box. I would say it's a 10 by 10, maybe 15 by 15. It's literally a box with a roof on it. It's made out of stone, yeah. I would say 50-year-old structure at the most, tops. So we went up. I had an assistant with me. Her name is Anna. She was doing photography. She was recording this incredible journey. So Anna and I went into this little box. And turns out that it's a makeshift chapel. So they've got like a little table in there and a few different pictures. Not necessarily Eastern iconography, not anything that looks resembled any Armenian iconography. It was more like pictures that have been taken out from, you know, Sunday school manuals, pictures of Jesus, spiritual pictures. There's small little write-ups. There were not a Bible, but there were pamphlets in there that people had put, and of course the traditional places for people to light their candles. It was a makeshift chapel we happened to stumble upon. And I was just thinking that, you know, all around me, that whole area was designed by God. If you want to look for a chapel, it's just right outside. But somehow we make these closed little parameters and we say, okay, we're going to bring God in here. Rather than saying that God is all around of us, all around us, we are bringing God into this small little 10 by 10 little box. This is where we will see God. And outside of that box, no, God's not there. And isn't it the truth that it's exactly the opposite? That God should be all around us, should be in our lives every single day and every single moment? But that metaphor of that small little box, the closed box church, it just made me think that this is what we do. We don't take enough time to find God all around us. Now, I happened to be in Armenia on my dad's birthday. I lost my dad 28 years ago. He was a young man, relatively young man. He was 58 years old. And it was difficult because it was unexpected. Whereas when the loss of my mom, in comparison, when I do the comparison, two different cases. It was an expectation. She had lived a good life, and she was ready to go. So, you know, it's natural. I do the natural thing. I do that comparison. I'm sure you do it in your life, too, when you compare different things. And you shouldn't. Life is a life. And all life is precious, and you celebrate each of the lives. But you're a human being, and you compare them. And in reflecting about my dad, I know that one of the big sorrows of his life was, you know, he was child of immigrants to America, genocide survivors. And one of the things that he always wanted to do was go to Armenia. If not to live there, but perhaps to visit. But he always knew that he needed to go there and stay there. And he would always say, if I go, I'm going to stay. When the big earthquake happened in Armenia, he wanted to go. And he was by trade, by profession, he was a pharmacist and he was a physician. And he wanted to go and help the people. And unfortunately passed away just before he could get out there. It was a big regret. And so on this trip, I had a chance to go to Armenia on the day that he was born. And that's a very special day for me because, if you've listened to me, you know how I get into these numbers and everything. He was born on the 17th of July. And many, many, many years ago, one of my mentors, a guy named Harach, when he passed away, his wife sent me a small statue of Harimyan Hayrik that he had. And I have this statue. I never forget, when I received it, I was kind of like surprised, like why she would think of me, and she sent it to me. And I turned over the statue. Harimyan Hayrik, one of my heroes also in life. And I looked on the bottom of the statue, and it says it was inscribed with the date on which it was made. It happened to be July 17th. Not only the date that my dad was born, but also 1932, the year he was born. So my dad being born and this statue being formed out of clay, same day, you know. And it gets to you. And, you know, there's these little things that in life, they all come together and they may be pure coincidence. And that's fine. Or you can take a romantic approach and kind of say, you know, my senses are dull enough. I don't need to dullen them anymore. Let me reach for the stars. And so I did. I was in Armenia on July 17th and just reflecting. I went to a very special place in Armenia on that day. That is the statue of Karekin Nijde. Karekin Nijde happens to be one of the strategists for the Armenian resistance movement, the revolutionaries, back in the early part of the 20th century. And there's a beautiful statue in Yerevan that I loved going and seeing because right at the top of it, it says, Astvats Ask Yev Hayrenik, God, nationality, and the fatherland. Pretty simple, right? You say it today in America or in Europe, probably end up being called a racist, but far from any racist idea that it might imply to people with messed up minds. It's about true understanding of who you are as a person. It's about connecting with something higher than yourself. It's about finding identity, answering one of those three fundamental questions. Where did I come from? What am I doing here? Where am I going? It's the question of identity. How do I define myself in this world? So I was at that statue. I was reflecting on my dad. It was his birthday. If he had lived, what he would have done, what he might have done. And it happened to be on the same week that we were commemorating the 50th anniversary of the moonwalk. And I shared that with you in a special podcast a couple weeks ago. And that was going on in my mind, watery eyes of the last sighing seconds. You know, I was thinking about all of that coming together. And I want to share with you these thoughts that I put to paper, actually. And to you, my next step, listeners, to give it to you, it's called For Michael Collins, Andrew, and My Dad. Some people perform miracles. Others facilitate them. Both types of people are necessary to make miracles. Today is my dad's birthday. He was born humbly in the diaspora to parents who had escaped the Armenian genocide. He had a desire to see Armenia and even articulated that it was where we all belonged. But life, being what it is, kept him busy in tending to the needs of our family. In 1988, after the Armenian earthquake, he applied for a passport. He was a pharmacist and physician by profession. It would have been his first time leaving the United States, the country which had given him home opportunity, the country he had served with his life. But the calling to serve the needs of a hurting country and his people were overwhelming. He knew he had to go. Sadly, with passport in hand, conditions did not allow him to travel, and he passed away shortly thereafter. My dad was a facilitator of miracles. He wasn't the main show, but without him, the show wouldn't go on. He and my mom created a life out of nothing, a fairly huge miracle by itself, by all accounts, considering the plan of genocide precluded the survival of any, even one Armenian. In my dad's case, the miracle wasn't mere survival, but it was thriving. Thriving with culture, with art, with song and dance. As a facilitator of dreams, he made it possible for so many others to enjoy the true miracles of life and happiness. 50 years ago, three men launched from Earth to visit our closest celestial neighbor. We all remember Neil Armstrong this week for his small step and his giant leap on the surface of the moon. We might even remember Buzz Aldrin, who followed as the second person on the moon, and he danced on the moon. But few will remember the third member of the team, Michael Collins, who facilitated the lunar landing. He sat in the lunar orbiter, circling and waiting for the right moment to ensure the safe return home of his party of three. Michael Collins wasn't the main show, but without him, there would be no moon dance. Throughout life, we are inspired by stories, the trials, tribulations, and accomplishments of men and women who have done seemingly impossible feats, performed miracles, and all the while we miss the opportunity to celebrate the unsung heroes who lifted the curtains for the performers, sewed the spacesuits for the astronauts, and laid the foundation for the brilliance of thought. One of my heroes from Scripture is St. Andrew. He is known as the first called disciple of Christ. He humbly followed and served God. In the narratives, we read that he was the one who introduced the boy with the fish and loaves to Christ. Andrew, he wasn't the main act, but without him, there was no feeding of the 5,000. Miracles don't happen without facilitators. So I sit here in Yerevan, Armenia, a country of miracles, across the statue of Garikin Nijde, and salute the unsung heroes of our lives. The ones who touched the moon without landing, the ones who can't cook but feed thousands, the ones who plant the seeds for us to nurture and ensure their sprouting. Happy birthday, Dad. You didn't touch Armenia, but today you have. There's so much more I want to share with you, but the piano player's here. Let's hear Susie. I'll be back with a few announcements.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, and thank you, our listeners, for all of your support, your love, your thoughts. And, of course, your prayers, they go a long way to keeping us afloat. Hope you enjoyed today's show. I'm just gotten back from Armenia, kind of like out of it time-wise, you know. I said earlier about, like, making it from Armenia to America in 7 hours. Actually, that's all the time that has elapsed in real life, right? But in real time, it's still like 16, 17 hours. And it is what is familiarly called jet lag, and I have it this time. I think Every time I go, it seems like it's getting worse, you know, that whole phenomenon of jet lag. But jet lag also reminds us that we are human, and that's an important one to remember this week, particularly because it is one of the five major feasts of the Armenian Church. It is Transfiguration, commonly called Vartavar, and despite what you've been taught and what you've been told, I mean, don't get excited about the water games. I see it all the time, churches talking about, we're doing this water game, this thing. You know, in the presence of light, those water games. Well, as my dear friend the other day, I sent one of the flyers, and he cynically sent it back to me, and he says, you might as well go to Magic Mountain. Yep, there are amusement parks that have better water games than your church will ever have. But there is no amusement park, there's nothing else that'll have the presence of Christ better than the true Armenian church can have, if we can just get it all together. Listen, just before we started recording today, a priest up in, let's see, what's his name? Father Suin, Father Shnok Suin, in Canada, has posted one of my Transfiguration videos. And I thank him for doing that, because I had completely forgotten about this. This is from 4 years ago. It is about what the Transfiguration is. And I will put it on today's show notes. Do watch it. It's a 15-minute little video that explains what the feast is about. And tell you the truth, if you pass it along to people, I'd appreciate it, because I think people need to hear this message. They need to know that the Armenian Church is not about, you know, water slides and water balloons. It's about something really deep, going to the beginning and the essence of all time and space reality. And I'll let you watch it so you get what that's about. It's just not words that I'm throwing around. It's true. Goes back to the beginning of time, Transfiguration. Let there be light, and our Lord Jesus Christ was radiating that light. Anyway, do look for it in our show notes today. And my final announcement, I'm excited because we're getting people that are reacting. First, a dear friend, Seza, she's going to be doing a Halo project this week. Another listener out there in the Midwest, is that where it was? Yes, Detroit, named Margaret. She's going to be setting up homeless outreaches. I'm really excited about that. She's patterning them after what we do over here with the Inishoes. And, you know, at first I got excited that, you know, maybe we could expand Inishoes. But it's not about labeling them. It's about getting the food out there. So God bless you, Margaret, and God bless everybody who's doing something. Says it's going to be having a fundraiser for Halo. And that's exciting, too. You've heard about Halo. I've talked about it. Something that's very dear to my heart. We cleared up a minefield in one of the cities a few years ago via vis-a-vis our fasting programs. But what Cez is doing, she's going to be working with the Halo Fund. Now, Halo is a group that operates throughout the world. It's an international organization, but in particular, Artsakh. Now, Artsakh had a war back in the late 1980s. Imagine that, over 30 years ago, they had a war where landmines were placed in the land. And these landmines are still there, 30 years later. There are fields, and every so often you will hear, I think it's something on the statistic of two or three a year, somebody will accidentally walk on a landmine. It's unheard of. It's bizarre. You know, you can't live like this. And so Halo goes in there and they clean up an entire minefield. So God bless you, Cesar, for doing that. And like I said, God bless you, Margaret, for doing the homeless outreach. And God bless all the people who continue to do the usual projects. We have our Essentia feed being sponsored by Anna. She was a delight. She was a blast to have on this trip to Armenia with me. She's getting back, I think, today, tomorrow, and she will be hosting the Essentia feed this weekend. I mean, this is exciting, and that's why I tell you, just let me know what's going on, because it makes me understand the importance of this ministry, and these are the kind of ministries that are very very, very important. We had a lot of occasion to talk in Armenia to different pastors, different church leaders, priests that are on the front line. The importance of making the church relevant in the lives of people by doing the important work that's out there. So when you react to what's going on over here, when you let me know that you're listening, you're following, it gives me the encouragement. We're all people, okay? And we need that encouragement. And I'm not hiding it. You know, it's like important. It's sometimes lonely. We're in a little cubicle and we're talking into a microphone, and every so often you'll see Ken, his eyes beady shooting at you. You'll hear Susie's voice on your headphones. But other than that, are people listening? Well, they are. And that's exciting. And so I'm telling you, I get excited, and I thank you for that support, for that love, and most importantly, for your prayers. I'm going to call it a day. There is, like I said, so much more that I want to talk about and share. I want to share with you the stories of Armenia that are going to keep going. There are a lot of things. I've got back 2 days ago, and already I've been on the phone several times, emailing, texting. I found a wonderful lady who's doing translations, who's doing Armenian translations, English to Armenian. And fascinating just how much talent is out there, and just the need for us to put it all together. So keep your prayers going, too. Listen, I'm going to call it a day, and thank you very much for joining us. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of our crew, Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Boskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
You're seeing the same sky as we are.